Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter 2. We'll be reading verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. At this time, I invite you to give your undivided attention as our pastor brings us today's message.
Praise God to Jesus, for Jesus, who is still in the business of saving souls. It's so good to come to church and to see people who are followers of Jesus. I trust that you all are here because you're following Jesus. It's natural. Christ went to church on Sabbath. Well, it was called then synagogue, right? But it was his custom. This is what he did. That's why we come to church on Sabbath, because we want to follow him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I remember a long time ago when I was in a seminary. Well, maybe it wasn't that long ago. It seems like it was a long time ago. Probably 7-8 years ago. I took a leadership class. And it's interesting, the person who was teaching this class, they started by asking this question. They said, what is the definition of the leader? Who is the leader? How would you identify a leader in your church? And then he said, very simple. Leader, well, we all came up in a class with different definitions trying to define it, and he said, very simple. Leader is the one who has followers. If someone has followers, he's a leader. So, is Christ your leader? Are we following him? It's natural that when we come to church, we tend to follow people. But it's important that ultimately we follow Christ and him alone. I want to make a statement that it seems a little bit deviate from the sermon, but it's even in tune with the sermon about following Christ. Once in a while, to keep us in check that we follow God and not man, conference does something strange. They change pastors from church to church. And one of the reasons that they do it to make sure that people follow Christ and not man, that our allegiance, as much as we have friendship and get attached to people, will be to Christ and not to man. And so in this light, I want just to briefly mention that our conference is doing some rearrangements for the district, and they're changing a little bit the setting. So effective of August 1st this year, I wouldn't be responsible for GF Troy. And you will have a new pastor who will be coming, and they probably announce it, I don't know, maybe during camp meeting it would be officially announced who will be. So I know for some of you it's not new, because I did mention to the board members during last board meeting this news, but I wanted to share with the whole church. And as sad as I am, and maybe some of you also feel sad, because we become good members over the years and attached to each other, but the reason that it's done that we follow God and not man. I still will be in the area. It's just district will be structured differently. I believe GF Troy will be part of the same district with Cahos Church. So when they receive new pastor, this will be the same pastor for GF Troy, the new pastor for Cahos. But again, it's done that we will learn to follow God and not man. What does it mean to follow God? One thing we identify, we come to church because we follow Christ. What else do we do because we follow Christ, because we are followers of Christ? What else? We change the way how we live. Healthy lifestyle. We as Adventists uphold healthy lifestyle because we want to follow Christ and His example. When we come to church, we even dress differently. Why? Because we are followers of Christ. All those things we do because we want to follow His example. But different people have different ideas. What does it mean to follow Christ? And your idea of following Christ could be very different from mine. How would we define it? How would we judge between them? By God's word. If you want to follow Christ, study His word. And the title of the sermon is Following Christ Part 1, because next month I will preach Part 2, what does it mean to follow Christ? In the Bible, the expression that Christ used, follow me, used numerous times. When He called His disciples, He used this expression, follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. When Christ declared Himself that He is light of the world, He said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me wouldn't walk in darkness. Christ said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself and pick up your cross. In John, when Christ talks about being a good shepherd, He says that I am a good shepherd and my sheep, they know my voice and they follow me. More than once, there is expression in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, when Christ refers to Himself and He invites people to follow Him. And if you study it through the Bible, you will get a good picture. What does it mean to follow Him? But for us as people, to follow someone, we need to know who he is and where he is going. I will never forget this expression. I maybe shared this, but I will never forget this expression on the face of Elizabeth. I was about to give her something and ask, so what would you like? And I will never forget this question. She said, she bended her hand like this and she said, what do you have? So what do you have? Show me and then I will decide. And I think this attitude, when Christ invites us to follow Him, we have similar attitude where He is going. We happy to follow Christ to the church. It takes some effort on our part. It takes some knowing Him, getting to know Him in order to make it to the church. But once we know Christ, we're happy to follow Him, come to the church. It takes some effort to change our lifestyle, but if we want to follow Him, we do it. But there are some places where Christ goes that it wouldn't take any effort. It takes sacrifice to follow Him, not just an effort. You see, it's interesting. When we buy a car, we want to feel comfortable in our car. When we get home, we want to feel comfortable in our home. When we come to church, many times we use the same expression, well, I don't feel comfortable in this church. But following Christ wouldn't always be comfortable if we use this expression. We cannot judge following Christ by being comfortable. Because sometimes when we follow Christ, it could be out of our comfort zone. I'd like to read again our scripture reading. It says, verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Peter talking about following Christ in His steps, but it's not about eternal life. It's not about just coming to learn at the foot of the cross, coming to hear Jesus, coming to hear a beautiful sermon about Jesus. Here, He's challenging us to suffering. He said, Christ suffered for you, and you called to follow him. This is where it gets uncomfortable, and we're not always willing to follow him. Every Sabbath, we have a children's church, but not on communion Sabbath. So I wanted children to take part in the service, and I asked them to help to illustrate what does it mean to follow Christ visually. Instead of sharing some illustration, I'd like children to demonstrate this experience in our life when Christ comes to our life and invites to follow him, and how willingly we do it, and until what point we're willing to follow him. So let's watch how children will try to show us what does it mean to follow him. They will act and show how Christ comes to our life and invites us to follow him, and what happens. And I will be commenting along the way. Bill will be a Christ-like figure, and children will be disciples or disciples to be. And we will see what it takes, how it starts to follow Christ. You see, Christ comes to everyone's life, and he finds us in different conditions. Some are blind, and he opens our eyes literally or spiritually to see things in a different way and bids us to follow him. Some are limping. We are handicapped without him, and he heals us spiritually and physically and invites to follow him. Some are having bad habits. What is it? Drinking, smoking, whatever we are struggling with. But when Christ comes, he touches our life in a profound way and invites us to do what? To follow him. Follow him. And when we follow him, we come to the moments that we're not used to. We might be uncomfortable. Maybe for someone to have a prayer for the first time in their life is very uncomfortable, is very awkward. But you remember when Christ was praying in the garden before he was crucified? He asked his disciples to be with him. And those who joined, in the story, those who invited, they joined. But in our life, we're not always willing to go through the time of suffering, through the time of supplication, and pray for others. And even we agree and we go through the difficult time and we're praying with God for others, even then we might fall asleep and not stay the course. Thank you. Thank you for showing it. Because this is the essence of following Christ. We're willing to follow Christ at the moments of glory. When the church is big, when the things are doing well, when it has a vibrant program for the children to outreach, we're happy. We want to join church when something is happening. But when church is struggling with something, not everyone is willing to stay and pray and go through the time of trouble and fight in prayer, be a prayer warrior. And even those who remain, many times we fall in spiritual sleep. But beside this, there is time when Christ went into suffering. And this is where no one wants to go. No one voluntarily wants to sign up to be suffered, to be tortured. And following Christ, one of the aspects that we are focusing today is going with him through the suffering. If you continue to read this passage, we all read verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And then Peter begins to comment, explain what does it mean to follow in his steps. Verse 22. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here Peter explains, you know, you were called to follow him, following his footsteps. And you have to understand that part of following Christ is to follow his example, to treat other people even when you yourself treat it unjustly. And he says, look at Christ. When he suffered, he didn't retaliate, even though he suffered unjustly. And this is where it gets very difficult to follow Christ. It's interesting, if you read chapter 2 and 3 of 1 Peter, you will find that the one word occurs quite often, and it can identify the theme of those chapters. Because in the context, the bigger context for this passage is when Peter talks about submission to the rulers and masters. Verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to supreme authority or to the governor and so on. He goes on to explain. He explains that we should have this submissive attitude to the authorities. And then in the middle he has this passage saying that you have to follow Christ and his steps as he suffered and didn't retaliate. And then he continues in chapter 3, it talks about wives. It's interesting. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. He continues the theme of being submissive. So this passage about following Christ is suffering is right in the middle when he talks about being submissive to the authorities, being submissive to each other in the family. And Peter here wants us to get it, that we will have Christ-like attitude. If we want to follow him, there is an area of our life that nobody voluntarily wants to go in, suffering. And here Peter talks about suffering and being submissive, but there is a key here. It's not just being submissive to everyone. He says about God-given authority. He says about family relationship when we need to respect each other. But the key is, for example, when he talks about submission to the authorities, he says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake. You see, he's talking about for the Lord's sake. It's not that I have to be there. How do you call the rag that everybody wipes their feet off me? No, he talks about spirit of submitting, surrendering to God. And I should respond when people attack me in a Christ-like manner, because first I surrender to Christ. Something changes inside. Without this experience, I'm not fully following Christ. This is part of the package, following Christ. And the key is when he explains and puts Christ on pedestal and says, look at him. Look at him. When they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The reason that we celebrate communion is to remember Christ's death on the cross, that he gave himself for us. And we need to remember it, because this is important part, the crucial part of the experience of being Christian. This is a crucial part of experience of following Christ. We need to remember it, that this is what does it mean to follow Christ. We need to look at him when he gave himself for us. That's why we take those symbols of his blood and body that was given for us, that we will remember this always, because this essential part of following Christ, seeing him, his attitude, and that this attitude will be instilled in our hearts. And it's not always natural for us to read and dive into this. We love to read about Sermon on the Mount and different teachings about Christ, different stories from the Bible. But the essential part of experience following Christ is also to follow him also to the cross. And that's why it's designed in our worship experience that once in a while, in our church, every 3 months, we celebrate Lord's Supper, when we can pause and remember and refocus again on Christ dying for our sins, because this is beginning of new life. This is the source of our strength, how we should treat others, how we should live Christian life, how we can truly follow him. This is where it all begins, and we need once in a while come to the cross. We need to be reminded, come to this service when we can celebrate, when we can remember what he did, that this spirit will be instilled in our hearts. And the symbols of the communion, his blood and bread as the symbol of his body, they're very profound. In order to live, in order to have a strength to move, we nourish our body. We nourish them. In order to have spiritual life, we need to accept it from Christ. That's why we take this bread as a symbol and we eat it, because it symbolizes that we live because of him. He is the one who is nourishing our spiritual life. He is the one who gives strength to move, to go about this life, to love other people. Without him, we cannot do it. So today, when we will be willing to humble ourselves, when we will be washing each other's feet, let our hearts be drawn to Christ when he washed disciples' feet. That we, when we will be doing this, we'll realize that we follow in him, we follow in his footsteps, just like we come to church on Sabbath. So we wash each other's feet, following his example. He said, you need to do this if you want to follow me. When we will be partaking these symbols, we will be doing this because we want to follow him. We want to live with him because of him. And let this time of communion will be time of a spiritual rejuvenation for us, that our covenant, our relationship with Christ will be renewed. Let's pray about it in our silent prayers when we partake those symbols and when we wash each other's feet. In Jesus' name we will do it. Amen.